God do some amazing things in these services. And so if you're sick tonight, don't leave here sick, right? If you're depressed tonight, don't leave here depressed. If you're broke, don't leave here if you're broke, change the way you think, right? Because you're prosperous in Jesus Christ, amen? He became poor so that you could become wealthy, amen? I want to receive it. The church is offended by wealth, but I'm not. And I always tell Christians that complain about wealth, if you have a hard time with Christians having a lot of money, I will relieve you of that burden, and you can just sign a check right over to me, because I don't have a hard time with it. I actually like money, so. Okay. So the theme of this restoration is about what God did through Christ restoring man to favor, okay? And so I'm gonna hit something tonight. The theme of this year's conference is kingdom, okay? We're going to talk about the kingdom. Kingdom means the king's domain, right? Everything, whatever the kingdom, where the kingdom manifests is where the king's domain is, right? The Bible says that it's in the spirit. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but the kingdom is in the spirit, right? And in this king's kingdom, every person that's part of that kingdom is a king. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a king, right? That's why he's the king of kings, right? You're like, I don't feel like a king. It doesn't matter what you feel like. We're people of faith. You are what he says you are. You're a king. Just accept it, right? And stop fighting with God. So I'm going to talk about two covenants tonight, okay? Because I'm going to end up on kingdom, but I want to take us there a different way than maybe I was going to originally plan on taking us there. I'm going to talk about two covenants. And one thing I want to point out to you is one of the biggest mistakes we do in the church and what we've done for years is we take like a scripture and we take it out of context and we build a whole theology around it, and that scripture didn't mean what we try to say it meant, right? I'll give you one. Maybe some of you will disagree with me tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Paul writes, I die daily, right? And we write that, we build these whole people preach it, write books on it, talk about you need to die daily, right? But if you read the thing in context, Paul isn't even talking nothing about myself purging myself to get right with God or to get closer. The context of what he's talking about is because of the message that he preaches, that he faces death every single day, right? He battled the beast of Ephesus. He was beat. He was shipwrecked. And he's saying, listen, this message that I preach, because of it, I face death every day. And if you say, I don't completely agree with you, just read a different translation than a King James Version. Because the New Living Translation says it a lot better, right? And it's not the devil translation. I checked in at headquarters, and God said he was okay with the New Living Translation, okay? All right. So here we go. I'm going to just read all these scriptures, and I'm going to back up a little bit, okay? I'm going to start in Galatians 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'm going to go Galatians 4, 21 through 31. I have quite a bit of scripture tonight, so stay with me. I'm going to do my best to try to not to be boring and put you to sleep. I fast boring meetings, and so we don't want to have one here tonight, right? All right. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that laughter is like a good medicine, right? It's okay to laugh a little bit. I think some of you are running low on your medicine. Maybe rub your belly a little bit. Let's get started. This thing started right. Go, ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Don't get ahead of me. Ho, ho, ho. And none of you guys are doing it. You say, I don't want to be silly like that. But it'll make you laugh and you'll be healed of something tonight, right? Okay, so here we go. Verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was born of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, for you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of free. So I'm going to read all, I'm going to unpack that a little bit, and then we're going to go a little bit tonight. See what the Holy Ghost wants to do. So many of you probably sit in church, and we hear this quite a bit, you know, walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? And so what has been taught to us for most of our life is that when I walk in the Spirit, that means I'm being a good boy, right, or a good girl. Or when I walk in the flesh, that means I'm being a bad boy or bad girl, right? But I want to bring to you today that is not the context of Galatians 5 that we've been taught all of our life. We've been preached. Most preachers today still say, I got to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. I mean, most of them don't need to be told to walk according to the flesh because they do, right? But anyway, what I want to present to you today is that Paul's not writing about this dual nature, like that you have a good spirit, but your flesh is bad. Like part of you's good, but part of you's evil. And you're always going to have this battle with evil always raising up inside of you. And it's not your fault. It's your sin nature. Because you have a sin nature, your flesh is bad. You're always going to be living this dual nature, if you will. Like I'm partly holy, but I'm partly sinful, right? Most of us believe that. Matter of fact, most of us believe we have a sin nature, right? But we're partakers of a divine nature, right? And the Bible says that when we were born again, when we came to Christ, that we are no longer, all things have passed away and all things have become new. You're literally something completely different than the world has ever seen before, right? The Bible says that you are a new creation, right? And the word new there, I have to go, I've said this a million times, but I have to go through it every time. So there's two words in the Greek for new, okay? One of them is called neos, and it's like if my shoes wear out, I get a new pair of shoes, okay? But it doesn't change the substance or the quality. They're just a different pair of shoes. But the new and new creation is kainos, and it literally means this. It means a change of substance to better quality. It means something that you've never seen before. Like, it's like a new, like when you see it, you go, wow, that's new, right? So when you became a Christian, when you had your born-again experience or when you had your conversion, whatever you want to call it, when that happened, God literally changed your DNA. He changed who you are. And that old sin nature died at that time, okay? And so I want to go through this a little bit. I want to show you through these scriptures. Then we're going to read down through Galatians 5. So Galatians 5 is where we read. You guys familiar with Galatians 5, 16 through 18, where it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, so you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Familiar with those? Get my water real quick. I got a dry mouth, so you got to hang on here. Thank you. I got my armor bearer with me today. What I want to present to you is this. As Paul is not talking to you about your dual nature. He's not saying that you have you know the old cartoons where we had a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and your whole Christian life is this. Do wrong. No, don't do wrong. It's not it. And you might say, well, that is my Christian life. But if that is your Christian life, I'm just going to tell you you're believing wrongly. Right? What you believe is what you will manifest. If you believe that you have a sin nature, guess what you're going to manifest? If you believe that you have a God nature, guess what you're going to manifest? If you believe that you're partially holy, guess what you're going to manifest? You're going to manifest a partial holy life. But if you believe that Jesus Christ was enough to finish the work, you will literally manifest, and you believe that I am holy, I am completely holy, I'm as righteous as Jesus, I am justified. If you really believe that, you persuade your heart to believe that even when you don't feel like it, even when you're doing things that righteous, holy people don't do, right? Because, see, that's the deal, is we can say amen sitting in a church service, but tomorrow we might flip off the guy that cuts us off and we say, well, I'm no longer holy, righteous, or justified. That's not true, right? Your behavior doesn't determine your identity, right? I'm a man. I can dress up like a woman. I can use a woman's bathroom. I can get surgeries, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm a man, the truth that I'm a man, right? It doesn't matter. You are holy, you are righteous, and you are justified before the Father, and it doesn't matter what you do. That's the offensive truth, but it is the truth. It does not change your identity, right? Because his work is enough. So I want to present to you this, is that Paul is not talking about, when he's talking about walking in the Spirit, not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, he is not talking about you walking this dual nature, but he is talking about two covenants, okay? And this is what he says in Galatians 4, what I just read to you. He says, he who was born of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and of the free woman through the promise. This is verse 24. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai giving birth to bondage, which is Hagar. So the flesh, so we're going to let the Bible define the Bible. The Bible, Paul says right here that the flesh is talking about a covenant given on Mount Sinai, right? Nowhere in the book, in the whole book of Galatians, the Galatian book, is it talking about you walking right or you battling with your sin. The whole book is talking about you not going back under the law. That's the whole book is. It's about you from Galatians 1 all the way through. Paul, these Galatians started a church. They're doing well. Everything's going good. And here comes somebody into their church service and says, yes, you need Jesus. But Jesus isn't enough. If you'll just get circumcised, if you'll take one little snip, you'll be holy, right? Now, in today's church, we might look at that and say, well, nobody asked me to be circumcised, but we do all kinds of other stuff. Like, if you just get baptized, or if you just pray and beg God to forgive you, if you just do all these things, right? Yes, Jesus is enough, but. You know what comes out of a but, right? A bunch of doo-doo, right? Do this, do that, do this, and do that, right? What if I say this? What if I say Jesus is enough, period? The cross was enough, period. And that Paul is not writing to you about your sin nature, but Paul is writing to you about two covenants. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to go on here. Verse 29, but he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So here we go. We got two. These are symbolic of two covenants, right? One, born according to the flesh, which is symbolic of Mount Sinai, and the other one, which was the covenant God made with Abraham, which is the covenant of promise, which was born according to the Spirit. God. So if we can get that revelation, I'll tell you what, I'll read you a few more scripture to help you with this. Paul writes in Philippians 3, verses 2 through 8, he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. So Paul's been battling with the Galatian church. They're coming in. They're wanting to circumcise guys. And Paul tells the Philippian church, he says, hey, watch out for these guys, right? He says, for we are the circumcision. So he's saying we are the Jews who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So Paul's saying this. He's saying, don't put any confidence in the flesh. So if we can take what we learned from Galatians 4, and the flesh is symbolic of a covenant that was given on Mount Sinai, the covenant of the law, the covenant that says that you are what you do, right? That your effort causes God to move. Your effort is what got God to bless you. So here's what he's saying is, if you want to boast in your efforts, if you want to boast in all the religious things that you've done, he says, check this out. I'll boast in mine. And this is what he goes on to say. Let me say this. If he's talking about his sin nature, what I get ready to read to you is turns around and starts boasting in all his religious things, right? My fasting for 40 days, my prayer, my this, my that. This is what Paul says. You want to boast in your self-effort? Check out what I do. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, verse 5, circumcised, this is what he's saying. He said, you want to boast in your efforts? Check me out. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal. I persecuted the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law. I was blameless. But what things were gained to me that I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, who I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So let me slow down a little bit. Sometimes I get a little excited about the gospel, right? We need some people to get excited about good news. Amen? He says this. He says, you want to boast in your religious activities? You want to boast in your religious things? Check me out. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee. Matter of fact, if you want to break out the law on me, according to the law, I was blameless. Right? I've been to church every Sunday since I was saved. I tithe every week. I pray. I fast. God owes me something. Right? He says, I count all that stuff as dung. I count all that stuff as rubbish. Just see all that. He says, so that I may know him. So all that stuff that I do to try to get God to move on my behalf is the things that block me from actually getting to know him. When I begin to say, you are enough, Jesus, you are enough, and there's nothing I can do, my efforts are not necessary, they're not even wanted, then I can, instead of put my focus on trying to be a son, I can just be a son, and I can set at my Father's feet. Amen. And I can get to know him. Bring up another verse here, Romans 7. So a lot of people think that Paul in Romans 7 is talking about this is his battle. This is his Christian battle. But in the very first verse of Romans 7, Paul says, I'm writing to those who are under the law, right? This isn't his Christian battle. This is the battle he had when he was under the law. He said this. He says, for when we were in the flesh, right, when we were in our efforts, when we were trying to please God by our doing, he says, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You know, the law wasn't given to help you live holy. The rules weren't given so you could live a moral life. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the rules were given so that you would sin. Romans 5:20 says that the law was given so that the trespass would abound, or the sin would abound. Well, why would God do that? Because he's trying to bring you to a place where you try really hard and you're working really hard and you think that you might have it. And Jesus comes along and he says, it's not just about sleeping with another woman. He says, if you look at her in lust, he says, you've already committed adultery, right? And then you waken to the fact that you can't do this. If you hate your brother, you've already committed murder, right? It's not just about the rules and keeping it on. It's about what's going on in your heart. Jesus literally come in and raised the level to a whole other level. And he says, it's even your intents of your heart has led you to sin, right? Bringing you to a place where you say, I can't do this. I need a savior, right? Where I quit and I say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians, let me read this to you real quick. Because I talked to you about the flesh and the spirit and the different places where Paul talks about the flesh. And it's not, you know, most of our lives we've been taught that the flesh, that I had this dirty old flesh, right? Can I say something to you? Jesus came in the flesh. Right? The same flesh that you're walking in, Jesus walked in flesh. If he wasn't fully man, he couldn't die your death. Right? He had to be a man. Now, can I train this flesh to do bad things? Sure. If I drink alcohol every day, I might get addicted to alcohol. If I watch porn all the time, I might get addicted to porn. But if I don't do those things, if I do something different with it, this thing is neutral. It's going to go the direction that I take it, right? That's why the Bible says we renew our mind. We change the way we think. We don't think the way we used to think. We change the way we think, and it changes our actions. So if you will just give me that tonight, and if you disagree, it's okay, that the flesh is not talking about this, and it's not talking about your sin nature, but the flesh is talking about your efforts trying to get right with God, okay? And the Spirit, I want to say this, the Spirit that Paul's talking about is talking about the new covenant, right? The new covenant in the Spirit. So a lot of times when we read the word Spirit, we're just thinking of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that that's true too, but sometimes if we can realize that Paul's also talking about this new covenant that we're in. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6, he says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death written in a grave on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So not every place in the Bible that it talks about the Spirit, is it just talking about the Holy Spirit? Sometimes it's talking about a covenant. Here he's talking about we are the ministers of the covenant or the ministry of the Spirit, right? I love the way the Message Bible says it. It says, if the government of condemnation was impressive, how about this government of affirmation, right? The old covenant was governed by the law. The new covenant is governed by the Spirit, okay? Like the old covenant, everything was about rules, okay? And in the church today, we're afraid of freedom. We're afraid to tell people, hey, the rules have been removed, and now you are governed by a Holy Spirit within us because we don't trust that the Spirit can do the job, right? We don't feel that the Spirit has the power to transform our heart or transform our life, and so we feel like we have to put rules on people because without the rules, people will go crazy. But I trust that the Holy Spirit will do a work in your life to transform you, right? To make you, to continually convince you of your righteousness in Christ, continually convince you of who you are in Jesus. Even when you're doing the dirty, dirty stuff that you shouldn't be doing, the Holy Spirit's in you saying, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. This is who you are. And he's always pointing you to Jesus. He's always pointing you to who Jesus is, because the more that Jesus is revealed to you and the more you see Jesus, the more that you will begin to realize who you truly are, right? Like, this thing is not about you trying to become something. This thing is about you unbecoming all the things that you were told that you were, right? Like, when you were told that you were a sinner, right? You believe that, and you walked in that, and you accepted that identity, and this whole thing is coming back and saying, you're not a sinner, right? You are a saint. You are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, here we go. I'm going a little fast tonight, aren't I? I'll try to slow down a little bit. It's Sunday night, right? You guys don't care, do you? Because if you were football-watching people, you wouldn't be here tonight, right? I am a football-watching person, and my game is on right now. But I'm here anyway because I love you guys. So let me just throw a scripture at you real quick. I'll get back to my point. But you know, when I was a young Christian and I would read Romans 8:1, you know, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I would just, when I was a young Christian, I would quote, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, right? And my brothers and sisters would always remind me, for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, right? And so what they would make sure I would understand is there's no condemnation if you are doing things, if you're being a good boy, right? I look back at that now and I think that's so stupid. There's no condemnation if I was a good boy anyway, right? Like, that doesn't even make sense. It's like telling your kid, I'm not going to punish you if you do right, right? So what he's saying is now there's no condemnation to those who don't walk according to their efforts, but walk according to the new covenant, walk according to what the Spirit is saying. Because see, if you're going to walk by your efforts, you're always going to find yourself in a place of condemnation, right? My efforts will always fail me. Me trying to get right with God, me trying to get blessed with God, me trying to be favored with God, I'm always going to find myself, I might do good for a week, I might do good for a month, but I will find myself failing, and then when I find myself failed, when I fail, I will find myself back in condemnation. Amen? Like, we can try to do this thing, right? We can try to walk this thing out. We can try to be good Christians, but the reality of it is we're going to fail. And we can convince ourselves, no, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But you're going to get exhausted, and you're going to get tired, right? And you're going to quit. Matter of fact, what I'm here to tell you tonight, just quit. Right? Quit trying. Quit trying to please God. He's pleased with you. Just receive it, right? Hallelujah. This is when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we used to always think that he was saying, you know, don't be conformed, don't go bowling, right? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't go out and watch movies. Definitely don't play pool, you know. I grew up in strict apostolic where you didn't have TVs. You didn't wear T-shirts here. You had to be past here. You always wore jeans if you're going swimming. Women always wore dresses, right? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't look like the world. Don't smell like the world. You know, don't wear makeup. Don't wear, right? That's not what he's saying, though. You see, we think that God has this issue with the world. God, the Bible says that God so loved the world, right? That God's, you know, I know James writes, if you're enemy, or if you're friends with the world, you're enemy with God. But he's not talking about the birds and the bees and bowling, and he's talking about the systems of the world, right? The systems that say you are what you do, you are what you possess. If you act right and do right, you're a good boy, and that's the systems of the world, right? God said, don't be conformed to that. Right? Conform means like wrapping over. Don't conform yourself, your identity, who you are by what you do and what you possess. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? I am because he said I am. See, Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and the question was Satan comes up to him and says, if you'll partake of this, you'll be like God, right? And Adam should have turned and looked at him and said, I am like God, right? First thing that Satan asks Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, if you are the Son of God, right, turn this bread or turn these stones into bread, right? See, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? What we miss is Jesus had just been baptized in the River Jordan, and his Father spoke out of heaven and says, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. And then Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration, or up to the wilderness, and the first thing the devil says to him is, if you are the Son of God, and Jesus basically looks at him and says, did you not just hear what my papa just said? I am the Son of God. And my papa is proud of me, right? He is well pleased with me, right? So when we're renewing our mind, we're not worried about it. Like, if you want to go bowling, it's okay, right? What you do there's your own business. But if you want to go bowling, we got to get past this that my identity is wrapped up in what I do, right? Your identity is in Christ. It doesn't matter if you have $1 million or you have $1. It doesn't matter if you go to church 52 weeks of the year or you don't, right? All those things are good for you. I'm not saying that we should just not do those things, and you should definitely bring your tithe. But what I'm saying is those things are going to make you righteous, and those things are going to make you holy, right? Jesus did that. Okay, so let's go back to where we started at in Galatians, okay? So can I kind of reinterpret this a little bit? Change where I'm going to start in Galatians 5:16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Can I say walk in the new covenant? I say then walk in the new covenant, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the old covenant. For the law, lust against grace, and grace against the law, because these two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Right? What's the context here? The context is talking about two covenants. He says it right there. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Right? If I'm not led by the Spirit, if I'm not led by the new covenant, the covenant of promise, then I put myself back under a law. And I want to say this. You might think, I don't sacrifice animals. I'm not under a law. I don't go to a temple on Saturday and do the Sabbath. But what I'm going to tell you is that anything that you try to do to gain favor from, anything that you try to do to add to the cross, puts yourself back under the law. And you're operating in the flesh. And the reality of it is we are wired to do things. We are wired to gain favor. Like, we are wired to, our the whole systems of the world. If you work at a job, the harder you work, the longer you work, the more money you make, the better you do. You go to school, we teach our kids, if you do good, you get A's, pluses, and if you do bad, you get an F. Everything in this kingdom is contrary to that kingdom, right? His kingdom is, you are because I say you are, right? I have declared over you that you're holy, that you're righteous, you're my son. It's opposite. It's completely different, right? And he says that if you're going to mix these two things, if you're going to mix, and these are contrary, the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, right? So if we're going to mix a little bit of grace with a little bit of law, we're going to find ourselves doing things that we don't want to do. Right? Paul writes in Romans 7, he says, when I was under the law and I knew not to do evil, I did it anyway. When I was under the law and I knew to do good, he says, I didn't do it. You realize that the Bible says that the law is the power of sin. Right? We want to have a sin revival in the church, let's start preaching the law. It'll manifest. I'm getting to kingdom. Just stay with me here. We're going to get there. James says it like this. He says that he calls a person that, not in this context, but James calls a guy a double-minded man, right? See, if I most of the church walks around double-minded, that yes, I thank God for my forgiveness on the cross, but that got me into the door, and from the door forward is my responsibility. It's my responsibility to keep me saved. It's my responsibility to gain favor. It's my responsibility to work up stuff so God can bless me. Right? James will call you a double-minded man, right? See, I have to come to a place, and sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes she was talking about, you can be going through some stuff, and you start going, God, what's going wrong? What am I doing wrong that's causing all these bad things to happen in my life? And maybe you do some things. Like if I was going to commit adultery on my wife, some bad things are going to happen, right? Like, she would circumcise me, right? I would. There would be consequences to my actions, but I would still be loved by God. I would still be going to heaven, right? I would probably be buying a new house and, you know, all those other things. I'm not saying there's not consequences for your actions. There's absolute consequences for what you do, right? If you crawl on top of this church and jump off, you might break your leg, and God had nothing to do with it, right? But what we do is we start going through hard times, and in the middle of those hard times, we start going, what do I need to do, God? And in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the hard times is when I've got to just say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I know that you're faithful, and I know that you love me, and I know that I'm favored, and I know that I'm blessed, and I'm going to just trust you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you through this storm, and I will sing all is well with my soul, whether I feel it or not, right? See, the second that I start trying to make deals with God is the second that I put myself back in bondage, right? He said there's two covenants. The covenant of Hagar was a covenant of bondage, right? Paul says you stand fast in the liberty that's been given to you, okay? There's two covenants. Let's stand fast in the liberty. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Paul writes that I'm persuaded that no matter what I go through, that nothing can separate me from the love of God, right? So here we go. I don't know where I finished up here. Verse 18, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand. Just as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So some of you are going, see right there, you can't do those things because you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And I agree with you, right? Paul wrote that right there. But what if I was to present, let me say this. What the works of the flesh are works of your efforts. And the works of your efforts is going to manifest in this, all these things. But and if you think that this is saying that if you do these things, you are not going to heaven, let me challenge you. Because he says, so the first few, we all, this is the ones everybody always throws, you know, adultery, fornication. We're like, yeah, you can't do that stuff and go to heaven, right? But what about jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, heresies, envy? Like, I don't know how long everybody in here has been in church, but that defines a lot of church people I've been around, right? So, if that's saying that you're not going to heaven, that's saying most people that go to church are not going to heaven. Right? Well, what if we repent of it? You repent every day of your gossip? Come on. I just do that blank prayer. God, forgive me for all my sins, the ones I didn't remember. Right? Just forgive me of those. That covers me. What if that's a lot less about you getting to heaven? What if Jesus really did punch your card? Maybe when Jesus says that whoever believes in me and the message, this is John 5:24. Well, whoever believes in me and the message that I preach is already passed from death into life, and they will never be punished. They'll never be condemned of their sins. What if that was true? They will never be. I don't have it in my notes. I just John 5:24, look it up. Jesus said it. If you don't, you agree with it. But listen, what if that's true? What if when I receive my salvation that Jesus punched a card and says, you got your golden ticket, you're going to heaven? And what if this is a lot less about me getting to heaven, but about heaven getting here, right? What if he's saying, you will not inherit the kingdom, and you realize the kingdom is not, look the word up, it's not talking about heaven, right? The word kingdom is talking about authority, right? It's talking about authority here on earth. What if Paul's saying that if you're going to operate in the system, if you're going to operate in the covenant of the flesh, where you're trying to get right with God by your own efforts, if you're trying to get circumcised so that you can be right with God, he said, what if he's saying, if you do that, you're going to manifest all, this is going to be the fruit of that, adultery, fornications, heresies. And what if he's saying, and if you're going to walk like that, you are not going to inherit the kingdom. See, the Bible says that some people take the kingdom by force, right? I'm not saying that if you're a Christian and you're working really hard and you're trying that you won't see the kingdom manifest in your life, but there's a difference of taking the kingdom by force or inheriting or being an heir to the kingdom, right? And so what if Paul's telling you that if you would just trust the finished work of the cross, you will literally inherit the kingdom. And if you are working by your own flesh, by your own efforts, you're going to find yourself you're not going to experience the things of the kingdom. Amen, amen. What's the kingdom? The kingdom is the king's domain, right? Where's the king? So where's the covenant we're in? We're in the covenant of the Spirit, right? Where's the kingdom contained? Jesus says that if I cast a demon out with the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Apostle Paul writes, he says that, lost my train of thought here, give me one second, help me out, Holy Ghost. He says the kingdom is not about eating and drinking, but about joy, peace, and righteousness. Where? In the Holy Spirit. So the covenant that you're in is governed by the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom, the authority of God, of the Father, is contained inside the Holy Spirit. And if I want to inherit it, I trust what Jesus did on the cross for me, and I walk in that, right? And I inherit that. And I'm not taking it by force. I'm not trying to take it by force. I receive it. Paul writes in Galatians 4, he says, you are no longer slaves. You are no longer servants, but you are now sons. And if you are sons, you're an heir to the kingdom, right? And he's telling you right here, if you're going to try to do it by yourself, you will not inherit this kingdom. And Paul, I'm not saying that you won't get kingdom stuff. I grew up in Pentecostal church. I've seen God do some stuff in there. But, man, we twisted God's arm. We begged. We pleaded. We fasted. We prayed. Right? And I'm for, let me, just, some of you don't know me, so let me say this. I'm for all of those things. I'm for reading your Bible. I'm for praying. I'm for fasting. I'm for going to church. Right? But the motive of your heart has got to be right. Right? If I'm praying so that I can get God to do something for me, then I miss the point of it. If I'm just reading my Bible so I can get favor from God, then I miss the point of it. If I'm going to church so I can get favor from God, I miss the point of the whole thing, right? All those things hasn't got nothing to do with God blessing me. All those things have to do with me and my walk and my faith and walking this thing out, right? Walking this thing out powerfully. Amen? A little quiet now, huh? Hallelujah. Okay, let's finish this up here. I went a little long, didn't I? Is it 7:50 already? Shaka. At home, I normally go like 45 minutes. I get in here with you guys, we're going to go a little longer. So if you go back to Galatians 4, he says, what does she say? She says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Right? Cast out. Cast out your efforts. Cast out your everything that you think you can be right with God, because those things will not be heirs. Right? This is what Sarah said to Hagar, told Abraham, get rid of that. Get rid of her. Get rid of that bondage. But the fruit of the Spirit. See, first off, I want to point out it's the fruit. The fruit. It's believing, walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, walking in favor, walking in blessing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One more scripture, and I'll shut it down. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Has anybody here not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So that means every person in here has the Spirit of Christ within them, right? That means that there's not one person in here that's in the flesh. Now you might say different, right? But the facts doesn't trump the truth. The truth is the Spirit of Christ is in you, right? You are in the Spirit, whether you feel like it or not. Can I say one of the problems we have in this country, in our church and everything? We are a feelings-controlled generation. I don't feel like it. I don't feel my kids. I go to work. I don't feel good today. So what? Get up and go to work. Shut up. Right? People of faith. We're not controlled by our feelings. God gave us feelings for a reason. I don't want to completely diminish our feelings, but we're not controlled by our feelings. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're in the Spirit, right? And the reality of it is the more you believe that you're in the Spirit, the more you renew your mind and transform my mind, I am in the Spirit. Whoa. The reality of that, the truth of that will become a reality for you. The more that you believe, I don't have to do anything. Jesus really did do it all. You know, every time I say things like that, I think about all the questions people are having in their mind. Like, I say, you don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. And people go, leave here, and they'll go, that guy said you don't have to do anything. Here's the deal. If the Spirit of Christ is living in you and you don't want to do anything, maybe you should check again, right? Because the Spirit of Christ in you will cause you were created to do good works, right? When I talk about, there's a difference of works for righteousness and works of righteousness, okay? When I talk about works and saying you don't have to do anything, I'm saying that you don't have to work for your favor, you don't have to work for your righteousness, you don't have to work for your holiness, you don't have to work for any of those things. But if I am holy, if I am favored, if I am blessed, right, then there's a work that flows out of me that's just my identity manifesting, right? My Father is generous. Right? He loved the world, so he gave. When that truth begins to reside in me, it makes me generous. Right? My Father's compassionate about broken people. Right? That Spirit that's in me makes me compassionate for broken people. Right? My Father's for genuine, real people that have real problems. Right? So we say, hey, take off the mask. Admit that you have real problems. Admit that you maybe be screwed up a little bit. It's okay because your identity is not even in your screw up. Right? The Spirit within you will cause you to want to do things. Right? Amen? I'll stop it right there. Can I get you just to close your eyes for a minute? Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we've inherited your kingdom. I thank you that I didn't have to do anything for it. I just got to be a son. I just receive it, Lord. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, Father. And I believe that right now, Father, as I'm speaking these words, as the good news is being released in here, and I'm speaking these words that your kingdom is now manifesting in this place right now, Father. Hallelujah. The thing is when the kingdom manifests, things in this kingdom, in this world that oppose his kingdom can't stay. So if there's sickness in your body, it can't stay. It has to go because when the Spirit begins to flow and the kingdom begins to manifest, those things have to leave. They're no longer welcome here. Depression is not part of your deal. Anxiety is not part of the covenant that you're in. Fear is not part of this deal. He has not given you a spirit of fear. The Bible says that perfect fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. Perfect fear cast out all love. Perfect love cast out all fear. Amen. It's not part of the deal. If you battle with anxiety, battle with fear, don't fight against fear. Fight for love. Meditate on God's love for you. fear will melt away. If those things, if you're sick, if you're depressed, if you're battling with anxiety, I want to encourage you. Can I get Mitch and Peter and Cecil to come up here? I want to encourage you to come up and let us minister to you tonight. If you need a financial breakthrough, and you might say, well, you just told me I had everything. I do believe you have everything. But I believe that sometimes when we lay hands on somebody, the Bible tells us to lay hands on people, that release of the Spirit on you just stirs up that faith in you. And if you're battling with sickness, I believe that God will just, can I share with you just a couple of things? I've seen God, and we've been in meetings in Haiti, a lady with a tumor, like if you cut a softball in half and would put it on her chest. I had a young girl with me, and she laid her hand on her chest, and that thing just dissolved right there. Another, that same meeting in Haiti, we had a lady with blind eyes have her eyes open. That same meeting in Haiti, we had a lady come in on a walker, and her friend carried her walker home for her because God healed her that day. We've been to Mexico. We've been all over and just watched God do amazing things. I don't always see everything that I want to see, but I'm going to keep laying hands on people and keep praying for them because that's what I was commanded to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. If you're needing a healing in your body, I want to encourage you to come up. If you are depressed, anxious, I want to encourage you to come up tonight. Don't leave that way.